Good morning, saints. I trust that you have had a wonderful week. I want to thank Jerry. We got up early on Monday morning. We left and went to Waynesville, North Carolina, and picked up our new organ. By the way, if you hadn't seen it, come by and look at it. Gene was there yesterday. It was Thursday night, I guess, trying to make the thing work. And she says, it's like driving a new car. We don't know where all the controls and everything is. So it's just going to take a little bit of time. And I trust that it will be something that will bring as much pleasure in the near future as we worship. And also thank the fellows who came out and helped us unload the thing and bring it in. Vince, for the time that you spent working on it, making the thing work. Vince is a whiz when it comes to electronics. And I'm glad you don't have to count on me to do these things. So thank you, Vince. Each one of our visitors this morning, do we have any visitors here today? Yes. Where are you folks from? Well, we're certainly glad that you're here this morning. May God bless you as you worship with us. Do we have any other visitors today? Oh yes, my brother from over in across the river, over in Augusta. We're glad that you could be with us today. John, he comes to North Augusta quite often and is with us. We're certainly glad that you could be with us this morning. Anybody else? Okay. We're glad that you could be here. Folk Sabbath is a wonderful day, isn't it? Yeah. It's the offering. And it's not that we don't appreciate it. I'm not just trying to kick it over. Oh, let me invite you to take your Bibles and stand with me. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study it every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. You know, as I go out and visit, there's a number of people have reminded me the fact that we would stand up and make a covenant with God to read His Word from, every day, that they've put this into practice and they are loving it. So, by God's grace, we should be spending some time in His Word each and every morning by God's grace. Loving Father, we want to thank You that we can hear Your voice speak to us at any time we choose. Lord, it's only to open the Word and it speaks to us, speaks to our hearts. We want to thank You for the privilege that is ours to hone a Bible or several different translations of the Scriptures and use these things to Your honor and glory. I ask now, Father, that You'd be with me this morning as I bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To be like Jesus. What an awesome responsibility. What an awesome privilege to be like Jesus. As I prepared for the communion service this week, I worked on my message diligently. But you know, this morning when I woke up, in fact, I didn't sleep well last night. I tossed and turned. We went to bed at 11 o'clock. And I developed, I'm not sure if it was an abscess under one of my jaw teeth, and it gave me a fit. I had to get up and floss my teeth and wash their, you know, brush them. And I went through this, and I went to bed, and it still gave me not a whole lot of relief. So by this time, I woke up at 20 after 1. 20 after 3, I was still awake, tossing and turning, and I was going through all this in my head, you know, worship, what does God expect of us to be like Jesus? And I decided I'm not going to use my sermon this morning. I want you to think what it must have been like to attend one of them synagogues in Nazareth. Use your sanctified imagination with me just now. It's a beautiful Sabbath, and everyone is excited about the relationship that they have with God. In fact, Israel as a nation, God's chosen people, they were chosen not that they were to be exclusive, but they were to take that message and share it to a dying world. They were to share it with all their neighbors. But yet they became so complacent that God had blessed them in such marvelous ways. God had worked these miracles on their behalf. And instead of going out and sharing these things, they turned inward. We call it in the church today, inreach. And as a result of turning inward, Israel lost something in their relationship with their Heavenly Father. In fact, we're told that that special privilege that was given to them was taken away and given basically to the Christian church.
Yeah.
But as I contemplate what's happening in the Christian church today, and folks, I want to tell you, Christianity is a minority in the world. And we should not be in the place where we would criticize our Baptists or Methodists or Pentecostal or any of these brothers and sisters. We're all children of our heavenly King. Now, I believe that God did something when He called the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He gave us a special message to prepare people. But I believe there's a work that these first day churches do. You know, Paul speaks about, you know, if they're preaching, even if they're doing it for their own self glory, at least the word is going out. And Jesus says, "Other sheep I have besides this fold, but in the end I want one fold, and I want or one fold, and I want one shepherd."
Yeah.
See, in heaven, we're not going to be separated by these denominational walls that we have erected. And I would like to think that as we look at Israel of old, and we would learn these lessons, that we would tear down any barriers that is between us and our Christian brothers and sisters, or our secular brothers and sisters, and we would so live our lives that they would see Jesus. I would like to think that this is the last generation before Jesus comes. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Not to see death, but to be translated along with our brothers and sisters who have died, who have preceded us in death. What an exciting day it's going to be when Jesus comes. But folks, there should be some excitement in our hearts, in our minds, every morning when we wake up. to be able to speak to the creator of the universe, and then to talk to him about what you are going today, what you were going to do today, and what you would like to accomplish by his grace, and invite him to go with you and give you opportunity to share your faith. Folks, God can, you know, to illustrate the glass of water, you can put no more into the glass once it's full. You can't put more in until you drink it or you pour it out. So each one of us is like that glass. We are a vessel that is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But God is not going to pour more in unless we pour out or we use what we have. And I can tell you from experience, time after time, it has happened that I have been placed in, given opportunities to witness. I did not prepare a particular Bible study for that day or for that individual. But God brought these words to my mind, the right things to say. The Holy Spirit did it. That's why we need to pray for that double portion of the Holy Spirit. We want to be like Jesus. We want to pray for each other in the church. We want to pray for our young people in the church. We want to pray for a vision. We want to pray for a ministry. And somehow, by God's grace, we are going to move out and we are going to let our neighbors know. I don't care if you never quote a text to them, but take a loaf of bread. Go wash their windows or rake the leaves or do something like that. And you will have opportunity. And if they ask what's so different about you as a neighbor, tell them that you love Jesus. You're my brother. You're my sister. And as family, we do this for each other. So to be like Jesus, I want to emulate him. As his custom was, it says, he came to the Sabbath and he went into the synagogue. He stood up and he unrolled the scrolls and he read to the people. In John chapter 13, it was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked him. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. May God add a blessing to the reading of His Word. We will separate now to participate in the foot washing service together. The ladies, if you will go through the door to my left and go out to the fellowship hall, everything is in ready. Everything has been made ready that you can participate in the foot washing service. And we're going to ask the gentlemen to meet in this little room right here. May God bless us today as we continue our worship of Him.